Good morning. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Wednesday, March 16, 2022, and the time is 9:05 a.m. We're meeting in State Cap Room number 205, and senators in attendance. We have a full house today. Senator Hughes, Senator Stevens, Senator Machicki, Senator Begich, and myself as chair, Senator Holland. Thank you to Mary Gwen, our recording secretary, and Kelsey, our moderator for today. As a reminder, please silence your cell phones. Today we will continue work on Senate Bill 225 relating to teacher apprenticeship programs. And I will now bring Senate Bill 225 back before the committee. This is the fourth hearing on Senate Bill 225. Monday we heard from superintendents from three of Alaska's more urban school districts, and today we're joined by superintendents from four of our rural school districts in Alaska. They are Terry Walker, superintendent of Northwest Arctic School District, Kim Hankins, superintendent of the Lower Kuskokwim School District, Bobby Boland, superintendent of the Bering Strait School District, and Patrick Meyer, superintendent of the Aleutians East School District. So Superintendents Walker, Hankins, Boland, and Meyer, or Mayor, welcome to the Senate Education Committee, and thank you for joining us today. So superintendents, right now we'll just go kind of around the thing. Just please state your name, affiliation, and location for the record. And I see Superintendent Myers in the top left corner, so I'm just going to start with you.
Good morning, Chairman Holland and members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to testify this morning on SB 225. For the record, my name is Patrick Mayer, and I'm the superintendent of the Aleutians East Borough School District.
All right. Thank you so much. The next step I see is Superintendent Walker. If you'd please state your name, affiliation, and your location for the record.
Uvlalotak, good morning. My name is Avinyak Terry Walker. Good morning, Chair Holland and members of the Senate Education Committee. And for the record, my name is Terry Walker. Sorry, I got to get that straight.
That's okay. And just for they like to have for documentation purpose, I guess, your location.
Okay. I'm with the Northwest Arctic Borough School District Superintendent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Up next is Superintendent Boland, Dr. Boland.
Hi. Good morning, Chair Holland and committee. Dr. Bobby Boland, Bering Strait School District Superintendent. Thank you for having us.
All right. Thank you. And finally, Superintendent Hankins. If you'd please proceed.
Good morning, Chair Holland and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Kimberly Hankins, Superintendent of the Lower Kuskokwim School District, and coming to you this morning from Bethel, Alaska.
Thanks so much. So, well, thank you all for, as we switch between speakers, just please try to remember to state your name again just to help our recording secretary keep track of who's talking. And I'm going to start the conversation today by asking one of four questions. I'll ask you each to respond to each question before moving on. And while we move through the questions, as on Monday, I'm sure the committee's going to jump in with follow-up questions or even posing their own questions. But my first question is, and we'll start with Superintendent Meyer, if you can describe the challenges you're facing when trying to fill classrooms with qualified teachers. Qualified teachers.
Thank you, Chairman Holland. This is Patrick Meyer, Aleutians East Borough School District. And so, I mean, I think the first thing I would just say is supply and demand. There just is not a pool of candidates, especially, you know, in key areas, but all areas really, but it's, especially special education, math, science. Those are difficult areas to fill. The other thing that is very important in rural Alaska, I'm sure my colleagues will attest to this as well, as just the expenses associated with getting people here. Airfare from Anchorage, $500 one way, so $1,000 round trip. You know, uncertainties with the ferry system out in the Aleutians here, that's a challenge. I hear this all the time, the lack of a defined benefit retirement system, you know, the current approach, and I listened to the Big Five representatives talked the other day about, you know, educational tourism, the fact that people come here for 5 years and then they leave because they can divest at that point. You know, just a case in point, we have a reading specialist that is in year five. She's staying this year. I'm certain she'll be gone next year. And as you know, like reading specialists, especially with the emphasis we're placing on reading, they're unicorns. They're very hard to find. And all of these things get more challenging every year. There's also a lack of, here where I'm at, it's a lack of 21st century infrastructure like high-speed internet. I mean, you can pay $120 a month here for absolutely terrible connectivity, rising costs. It is $9 for an avocado out here. And I got to tell you, it's not a very good avocado for $9 and $8 for a gallon of milk. And you know, there is difficulty with just finding mentors for teachers through our mentor program that are quality mentors. Just by way of example, 28 applicants on ATP for elementary education, 2 were certified. And lastly, just the costs out here again, it's $900 a month for housing for our teachers. We have good teacher housing, but it's $900 a month. If you add $150 for utilities, you know, you're in that $1,000 plus range. So that's $12,000 off the top of their salary to be able to, you know, attract people out here. It gets more and more difficult every year. We have had 4 vacancies last year in Sandpoint and King Cove. This year, district wide, we have 11, 4 at King Cove and 6 at Sandpoint. And that does vary from year to year, but those would be some of the challenges. And I know I said lastly, but you know, when you go to recruit, you have the big 5 districts, you have the road system, and you have rural sites, and then you have remote rural. And so if you look at that from left to right, oftentimes teachers look at those big 5 districts and then progress towards that remote rural location. So there's a kind of an exponential difficulty recruiting out in these remote areas. And thank you.
All right. Thank you, Superintendent Meyer. And feel free, the rest of the superintendents, you say, golly, he covered it all. But you're also welcome to add your own comments. And as we go through the questions, I'll also start with different superintendents so everybody gets a chance to chime in. But up on this question would be Superintendent Walker. And the question was, can you describe the challenges you face when trying to fill classrooms with qualified teachers?
Thank you, Chair Holland. And for the record, my name is Superintendent Walker. So, yeah, everything that Superintendent Meyer said, and he touched on working to find quality candidates in the rural areas, you know, willing to work away from home. And in our villages, often, you know, we do provide teacher housing for them, but often they have to room with other teachers from other areas, and sometimes that combination just doesn't work out. Most often it doesn't work out. You know, it's hard to room with someone that you really don't know to start off with. And then here in Kotzebue, it's next to impossible to find a home. You can't buy a home here in Kotzebue, and to rent even a 1-bedroom, it's $1,800 in this area. So last year we worked to find to fill our positions. We were about 12 positions short, and housing here in Kotzebue is a very big issue. So then he touched on the high cost of living, and you know, the salaries, of course, are not as enticing as they used to be. We used to, they haven't kept up with other states. So I think that was all I had to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Walker. Next up is Superintendent Bolin.
Hi, good morning, Senator Holland and rest of your committee. So in Bering Strait School District, again, lots of what was just said. I wish we could get a gallon of milk for $8, but a gallon of milk in the Bering Strait region is $15. So we do have about 64 openings a year. We have, as the Big Five said earlier in the week, there's lots of special education and counselor positions, and the competition for those is just tremendous. I'm currently out recruiting now. I've been to Laramie, Wyoming. I've been to just left Spokane, and I was just observing the at the Washington Job Fair, Education Fair, that we're only $2,000 more than what Washington's offering for a starting teacher now, and that used to be much different. And even they are surprised that they have caught us. And so when you're trying to recruit a teacher from their hometown to come to rural Alaska and pay almost five times what they're going to pay there to get, in many instances, substandard living conditions. We have, you know, obviously we're our own landlords. We don't have rental availability for our teachers. We have two villages still that have houses without running water. We have houses without, you know, they're still on honey buckets. And it's a tough sell. Even against the Big Five, but from another state to have, you know, to convince a teacher that you want to come to rural Alaska and stay for a career, but we don't have water and sewage and internet, as Patrick, Superintendent Patrick's mentioned, and all those things for you, and we're going to cost five times more to purchase your groceries. For shipping, we only have one regional airline here now after Raven pulled out, so we have Bering Air. They charge over $900 to fly to St. Lawrence Island from Nome, and then you still got to get to Nome from Anchorage on the Alaska Jet. So we do offer, you know, incentives to try and bring that back, and I know that's a question later on, so I'll save that. But the lack of internet, the lack of housing, we try to build new houses. We're building triplexes to try and build up because there's no land in our rural communities. And if we do have to get land, it's, you know, from the tribal organizations or, you know, local entities, and they can charge a premium to the school district for that area. You know, we're... yeah, I think I can stop there. The rest of it is kind of a repeat of what Superintendent Patrick and Walker said.
All right, thank you, Superintendent Boland. And next up is Superintendent Hankins.
Yes, thank you, Chair Holland. For the record, this is Kimberly Hankins, LKSD. I will largely echo what my colleagues have offered. Definitely, we face a lack of qualified applicants and fewer people entering the profession in general. Similar to what you've heard, we also face the reality that a lot of people aren't willing to relocate far from home, or they're not willing to relocate to rural or remote parts of Alaska. My colleague spoke of, you know, lack of modern amenities. We surely face that here in LKSD, lack of high-speed internet, Superintendent Mayer said. Well, I can get an avocado for less than $9. Milk in Bethel is $9 a gallon. Most recently, I paid $5.49 a pound for apples, and an 18-pack of eggs is over $6. Those are just the realities here in Bethel. Things are more expensive in our villages, if you can even get produce in villages. So the cost of living in rural Alaska is incredibly high. One thing we face in LKSD every year is just loss of teachers to the road system school districts. That's something that just occurs every year. And as Superintendent Boland said, our ability to offer a more competitive salary than districts in the lower 48 has sort of diminished over the last decade. As states have raised teacher wages, and where it used to be that you could move to Alaska or rural Alaska in particular and make a lot more money, it's just simply not the case. So I think that's all I have to add. Thank you.
All All right. Thank you, Superintendent Hankins. Are there any questions or comments from the committee? Senator Machicki?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just on the subject of housing, so I listened to all of you, a couple of you said about the difficulty in obtaining land in some locations and things like that. What kind of partnerships are there, or what kind of partnerships might be available with municipalities, villages, regional organizations that want their children educated, and instead of looking to sort of profit from the difficult availability of land, might make housing and land more available to at least help one aspect of the rural problem?
We'll just kind of, I see it looks like Dr. Boland might have you have a comment?
If you'd like, through the chair, Senator Mendici. We obviously fill out the grants with the Alaska Housing Federation. We work with our tribal organizations to try and find land and to make, I think we just this year actually gave some land back in one of our villages because they needed it for housing, because those villages are growing as well. So to be able to, we have not had much luck finding partners that have availability to land. And I don't, to be honest with you, it's just the idea of having local or outsiders come in and do educate their children is not a big enough incentive to provide discounts to districts or to be able to do rentals that are fair, I believe. So if there's a partner out there, I mean, we work with CoAIRC, we work with our other local rural CAP and other partners, but it's just the lack of land is just a real challenge, not only for us but for the local villages as well. They're packed and crowded as well.
I was going to see if any other superintendent had anything to chime in with. And seeing then, Senator Stevens, did you have something on this point? Or,
well, in general, I really appreciate what you've told us, and I understand. I have many villages in my district. I know the problems you face and the cost of living issues, the low salaries, having to compete with out-of-state salaries, the housing issues. If I could ask you, what is the single most important thing that we can do to help you get qualified teachers in your communities? The one thing, could you, I know there's lots of things out there, but in your mind, what is the single most important thing that the legislature could do to help out?
And I see Superintendent Myers queued up with his little hand on the screen, so you found your hand button, so I will let you go roll first on this one.
I did, and thank you. I would like to address both senators. So the first thing about housing is, so we have housing for that the borough provides in Sandpoint. We have housing in King Cove that the tribe provides. We partner with Eastern Aleutian Tribes in False Pass. They help us with providing housing. And then the city of Accutan, they provide housing as well. But it's subsidized housing. Our teachers are able to reduced rate, our teacher principals at those two locations. So it's kind of a mishmash. And we work with all of our partners to try and put together this package for our teachers. And again, we have great housing out in this region, but so we're fortunate, but the cost is still high. When I mentioned that, $12,000 figure that chips away at the annual salary of a teacher. And so that comes back around to what is the one thing. And I really think, increasing funding within the BSA, is super important because, we have ongoing expenses. They aren't getting any, cheaper. So I am willing to, send Bobby a gallon of milk if he'll give me an avocado. So, our expenses just continue to go up. And so thank you for the opportunity to respond.
Did anyone else have a response to Senator Stevens' question? Because he actually stole my second question. We'll come back to that second. That's okay. But Senator Begich.
Well, the single most important thing, I think we need to hear that. I mean, here we are in a tough time. Is the only thing we can do, the primary thing that Patrick has mentioned, is the BSA increase. Do you all agree on that? Is that the single most important thing the legislature could do this year?
I see Superintendent Boland has his hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Stevens, through the chair, I don't know that it's the only thing that can be done. You know, obviously, everybody talks about the BSA. They talk about the defined benefit. But I think if there was a way, if you're looking for one way, it's somehow to help districts subsidize expenses, travel expenses with the airlines, shipping expenses. So even if you order off of Amazon, we try to sell that. It's like, hey, you can get the same prices as the lower 48. But it's going to take you 2.5 to 3 weeks because it's the low priority getting it out there. So, and I don't know how that works, with the legislature, how that subsidized becomes a reality. But, if we're going to not provide any additional income to teachers, to be competitive with the lower 48 and our we're pulling from the same pool in Washington and Oregon and Montana. And if our costs are going to be five times that, then we have to find a way to subsidize that. And I don't know how that's done, but that would be my one answer to you, is to our biggest benefit, I think, for us.
And I see Superintendent Hankins.
Yes, thank you, Senator Holland. And through the chair, I wanted to address both questions. First, in regards to housing, so Superintendent Hankins, LKSD. In our district, LKSD, we do own all of our teacher housing, or the majority of our teacher housing, in our village sites. And similar to what I heard my colleague state about costs, on average, rent in teacher housing units in our village locations can average $900 to $1,200 a month. In Bethel itself, we do not own teacher housing, and housing here is incredibly expensive. In LKSD, we used to see a pattern where most of our teachers would start in villages and then want to move to the hub. But that's not really the case anymore. We found it more challenging in recent times to recruit teachers for Bethel because of the high cost of living here. Rent can be anywhere from $2,000 to $2,700 a month, depending what you're renting. And then you add on the cost of utilities on top of that. One thing we are, of course, we work with all of our communities. If we have a housing shortage, we do reach out to see what's available locally. We've gotten really good at working with all of our tribes, especially through the pandemic. In regards to the second question by Senator Stevens, I agree. One, an increase in the BSA in general would allow districts to target their specific needs, because not every district is the same. But I also agree with needing to look at the retirement system and having a defined benefit. Those are my thoughts on that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Superintendent Hankins and Superintendent Walker.
Yeah, I'll, Chair Holland, for the record, my name is Superintendent Walker, and I'd like to address both questions. For housing, we do subsidize our housing in the villages. So much like Superintendent Hankins, even with the housing being subsidized, they still pay, you know, between $900 to $1,200 in our villages. Kotzebue does not have subsidized housing except for a 10-plex. And so we have a 10-plex here for new teachers coming in. So 10 new teachers can stay in that 10-plex. At the end of the year, they have to find a place to stay in the community. So that 10-plex is subsidized. And so then they go from paying $800-$900 a month to paying $1,800 a month at minimum if they sign on a contract for the next year. So quite a few teachers leave. They have to really love the area, love the kids, in order to want to stay and pay that increase in cost. Then to address the one thing, I know that our insurance, our benefits are going to go up $2,000 per employee. And so that's about $650,000. And then our we have negotiations this year for both certified and classified. And, you know, with the inflation, you know, their salaries, regardless of if our BSA increases, their salaries must increase in order to offset some of the cost of living on them, as you've heard my colleagues say, the expenses that that they have. And so, you know, for us, I think an increase to the BSA for inflation proofing the BSA is the one thing that I think would really help districts. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Superintendent Walker. Senator Begich, sorry to take so long to circle around to you. Has your question been answered yet?
No, I have a number of questions, of course, so if I may. Just, you know, the answer is not as simple as one answer. I know you all know that. It's complex. And you know, there are a number of realities here. The one of the primary goals of Senate Bill 225 is a grow your own effectively teacher apprenticeship program, and so I'd like you to comment, and I have a couple of questions, so I'm going to give them all to you, so if you want to take notes. But the first one is that something that will actually help you, the growing your own, since we're talking about the struggle of getting people interested in staying in local communities and rural communities, the problem with recruitment, etc. And that's a prime focus of the bill. A secondary focus of the bill could be some substantive support through the idea of a teacher retention and recruitment grants program. That's a possibility we began to discuss with the big districts on Monday. It's been kicked around from time to time since 2011 here, and Senator Hughes and I have had some conversations about that, and some others of us here have. And so that's a second piece, which is, you know, how could an effort like that help you? And the reason I'm saying it quite like that is because, Superintendent Walker, you mentioned that you subsidize some of the housing. I think each of you do in some regard. And that must be coming out of your operating money. I'm assuming that's coming out of your operating budgets. I see nods across the board there. And obviously, operating money is the money we use to instruct as well. So whenever we don't have the ability, when we subsidize teacher housing, we're taking that out of instruction. So that actually has an impact. And then the third sort of related issue, which I think those of you who listened on Monday will recall, is that, you know, it does become a math problem. Even if we pass an increase in the BSA, if that increase is vetoed, it doesn't solve your problem. So we need to be looking at a wide variety of ideas here and not put all our eggs, if you will, in one basket, especially when the governor's been clear. If there isn't a reading bill, there will not be additional BSA funding. He's been very clear that he will veto that. In fact, he called me after our meeting on Monday to reinforce that message to me. So for whatever that's worth, Mr. Chairman, I think that people should know that. So given that, local path to hire, which is what Senate Bill 225 has a substantial impact on,
the idea of potentially adding in a teacher recruitment and retention grant fund, and then the sort of the broader issue of frankly, if we don't get a BSA increase, how do we, you know, work operating budgets here? So if, I know that's a wide variety, Mr. Chairman. I'm probably asking some of your questions.
Yeah, you're stealing all my questions, Senator.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
And as I see, we'll go to Superintendent Hankins at this point.
Great. Thank you, Chair Holland, and through the chair, Senator Begich. To address your first question, would a grow your own program help? My answer is yes. And I'm really proud that LKSD has had several grow your own programs for over a decade. We have many well-established practices that support teacher retention and recruitment. I think living in rural Alaska, if you're not looking at retention first, you're missing the mark there, because what we really want to aim to do is retain our teachers so that we aren't having to recruit as many. So in terms of retaining, we offer robust professional development. We encourage our new to profession teachers to participate in state mentor programs. We provide instructional coaches for all of our schools. We've developed what we call our STAY program, which is supporting teachers across the years, which is geared toward teachers in their third year and beyond, with really targeted specific professional development. We established an LK RISE program that aims to support cross-district connections and reduce professional isolation, which we know is a factor in rural, remote Alaska. And then as a district, we continually look at ways to improve retention, mainly through survey feedback. But we really do work to address those things we can control and we can improve. So an example of that is like the conditions of teacher housing. We can't control how far we are from people's families, but what we can control is making sure that at each of our schools, our staff, our principals are working collaboratively to provide that foundation of support for our teachers, so you feel like within your location you have this great system in place. When we recruit teachers, we really do look at community fit when placing candidates, because our goal always is to have people stay. And then in addition to that, we offer all of our new hires, new teachers, the opportunity to participate in culture camps, and we devote countless hours to providing cultural orientation for new staff. The programs we've developed, so that's a little bit about retention, but the programs we've developed to grow our own have been and continue to be really successful. So about 15 years ago, we began establishing multiple pathways to fill teaching vacancies. So we know that rural schools continue to be hardest hit by turnover. And we also know that teachers and principals prepared outside Alaska continue to be more likely to turnover. So we started down this path of grow your own, both as a way to fill our own vacancies, and also specifically as a way to fill our own program needs in regards to our dual language enrichment model program and then our UPIC immersion programs. So for a way for us to grow our own and then have fluent UPIC and CHUPIC speakers. So out of that effort, we established our TEACH program, and that's evolved over time to be our Career Ladder program. So that program in LKSD now consists of our TEACH program that supports our associate teachers earning their teaching certificate. We have what we call a two-and-done program, and then an LKSD graduates and community member career ladder. And then lastly, our LKSD scholarship program. So to date, through all of those programs, we have supported 28 locally grown teachers in earning their teacher certifications through those programs. Additionally, we offer endorsement support for people wanting to earn their endorsements in high need areas, such as special education. I heard my colleagues speak to that, mathematics, school counseling. And then we also have an education career pathway for students beginning in junior high that really aims to encourage and promote students entering the teaching profession as a career. So that's a little bit about what we're doing. So in answer to their question, you know, are growing your own programs a solution? I say absolutely yes. And we've had success with our own, and I totally support that. Your question about a grant fund for teacher retention and recruitment, I support that idea. I think that each district, like I said before, has unique needs, all based around costs. And so if something such as that could help offset costs in ways that districts identify to be really prohibitive to hiring, I would totally support that hiring or retention. I hope that answered your questions.
I think I can follow up.
Just very quickly, I mean, the last issue was the issue of, you know, the position that the administration has taken on adding to the BSU without a Reads bill. The Reads bill that this committee produced actually would allow, through early education, should a school district adopt it, would allow over time an increase in the BSA for its early ed students, for districts with early ed. You know, and so the question there really is, you know, given that you might not have the BSA increase that you want without a Reads Act, I guess maybe the question should be, do you support the Reads Act? I mean, because that seems to be a path to the BSA. So,
yeah, through the chair, Senator Begich, and for the record, Kimberly Hankins, LKSD. So LKSD supports both the expansion of high-quality early education for all children in Alaska and the targeted investment of effective evidence-based K-3 reading instruction. I can say that we appreciate the addition of the culturally responsive language and other amendments made in the House Education Committee. And we believe those have resulted in strengthening protections of and supporting our dual language and immersion model programs. A lot of the structures laid out in the Reads Act, you know, we are already involved in. You know, we already have screeners in both English and UCTIN to identify our struggling students, and then we already do provide interventions in both English and UCTIN for those students. So I think, yes, and in addition to that, LKSD is a member of the Coalition for Education Equity and has voice support for it.
All right, thank you, Superintendent Hankins. Next up is Superintendent Boland.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to answer Senator Begich's questions a little bit, and this is Dr. Bobby Boland with the Bering Strait School District for the record. I think I would just like to kind of piggyback on what Superintendent Hankins was talking about. And we do offer, we've had two $7 million grants through the MAC Foundation that we've gone out and got on our own. We don't have the numbers. Those have been in the last 4 to 5 years. But we have brought seven of our paraprofessionals to get education degrees and to come into the classroom as certified teachers. So our efforts of growing our own have been there, and they continue to work, but we have to go out and find grants for that. So if the legislature, you know, finds a way to have other grants for that, I think it would be beneficial and help us focus on other things besides writing grants to find ways to retain our own teachers and to grow our own. You know, we have the Educator Rising, so we try to have, we have career high school credit classes for students to go and teach in the younger elementary school to try and get them hooked into helping our younger students and their communities to come back. However, we have found that we've gone through that process and we still lose that teacher to Anchorage or Fairbanks or Juneau because again they also realize that there's no place for them to live even with their with their families in the villages for them to come back to and then the high cost for that. So but we are definitely would be in support of getting any assistance to and our MAC program, we actually provide a sabbatical. So we pay our paraprofessional 1 year. They don't have to teach. They don't come to the school. All they do is take classes. So we pay their salary. We pay their classes. We pay all their educational expenses going along with that. And then we guarantee them a job back in our school district as a certified teacher upon completion. So I think some of those efforts are there. But obviously that takes money to be able to do that. And the reason that we pay them that 1 year sabbatical, or even longer, if it takes them longer to do that is because the struggle we found was that our paraprofessionals did not have the time to take classes more than one, maybe two a semester while they were also teaching, full time as a paraprofessional in the community. So that was the reasoning behind this sabbatical opportunity for them. I think if we look at, our mentoring programs and especially even our folks from the communities, we have at ASA and ACSA, have created our own mentoring program for superintendents to come through. I started in it 8 years ago when I became a superintendent. And we mentor on a 2-year kind of rolling cohort. And I think finding ways to model that for our teachers that come out of our communities to also be able to get that support. The mentoring program has been, they lose money every year. I don't know where their money typically came from, but now they're asking districts to pay for teachers, mentors to come to our communities and mentor our teachers. Otherwise, they can only do it by distance. And distance is great, but having a mentor on the ground in a community is much better. So, finding ways to fund the mentor program to help with that, I think would help with our retention. You spoke about the grants program provide grants again for reimbursement of our teachers. They have federal ways. If you're a teacher in Title I areas, you can get federal loan forgiveness. But I think if there was additional loan forgiveness from the state for staying a certain amount of time, I think that would be beneficial. I think it should not only be tied to our teachers, but to our principals, our administrators, possibly even superintendents. The administrators can't get reimbursement from the federal government because of unless they're actually teaching in the classroom. So so they can come out and work and have no means. There's the public service loan forgiveness, but it's a 10-year program and you have to be making certain payments to make that effective for you. So finding ways to reimburse our teachers. We provide a longevity bonus. If you stay with our district for 3 years, you get a $3,000 lump sum payment when you leave. If you stay 5 years, we bump it to $1,500 and you get a $7,500 lump sum if you leave. If you stay 7 years, you get a $2,000 bump. We backdate it. You get a $14,000. And we just negotiated with our union this year or last year during negotiations. We now have a 10-year. So we provide $2,500 a year. So if you stay after 10 years, it's a $25,000 lump sum, and then it repeats itself. So I think we are trying to find ways to keep our teachers in our regions. But again, that's money, as you said earlier, and as many other members of the committee have said, that's that's money coming out of our general fund that is not being replaced through any mechanism, you know, besides districts going out and finding their own money and grants. And I'm lucky in my district to have a big enough staff that my curriculum director will go out and, you know, will write these grants. We partner with, you know, with Superintendent Hankins and their district to run a Gear Up grant, which is to try to get kids to go to college, to become the first kids in their families to go to college. And then we try to push that education effort to come back. So I think that's just another program that again, we go out and get those $7 million grants and administer them to try and make that work. And I think support from the legislature or the state would be, you know, would obviously be a big assistance so that we can find those outcomes that everyone is talking about. Because the first question a teacher is asked when they arrive in my village by a kid is, how long are you going to stay? And so, you know, that's the worst, you know, the worst question. Teachers feel bad when they get here. They're like, what do you mean? That's your first question. So I think it's to find ways to find ways to get kids engaged is to have a teacher that comes back every year that a kid can count on to be in that community year after year. And so there has to be some type of incentive to, again, keep these teachers here and then wanting to be educators themselves. Thank you.
All right. Next up is Superintendent Meyer. Are you muted? I think you have to unmute your button.
Sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Holland. My name is Patrick Mayer. I'm the superintendent of the Aleutians Eastboro School District. Through the chair to Senator Begich, yes, you know, I certainly, you know, support Grow Your Own Plan. We are working on that in our district. We have a couple of students that are certainly very interested. And we also have a couple of employees that came through the school system would like to become teachers. And I think a substantive support plan for teacher recruitment and retention is certainly something worthy of consideration. And just to kind of address, you know, the reading bill, I think superintendents do support the reading bill. I know that I do. We were the recipient of recipient of the CLSD, the reading grant we've put in place. We found a reading specialist that works across the district. You know, they're doing a great job. So I think we've kind of front-loaded what I see in the reading bill. And I appreciate the governor's priorities. You know, but our priorities as superintendents, we have to, run our districts. We're accountable to our communities and supporting our students' safety, well-being, and instruction. I think we understand all that and support that. And I just wanted to kind of tag off of what Superintendent Boland mentioned. We also, AXA also supports principal cohort for new principals and the pipeline to grow your own. So I think we have a lot of things moving in the right direction, but that funding for the BSA is critical for us to be able to move forward. So thank you.
All right, and Superintendent Walker.
Thank you, Chair Holland. And for the record, I'm Superintendent Walker with Northwest Arctic Borough School District, and Senator Begich through the chair. We do, like all the other superintendents, you know, we have the components of working to grow our own. One of them is the Educators Rising Program, and I'm really proud to say that three of our contestants qualified for the nationals. So we are going to support them going down to Washington, D.C. in June. And the other thing that I thought about was that what Dr. Boland had mentioned, that when they go away to go to school, many of our graduates don't come back. And so whether they're in education or in other areas. And so the ones that I really want to look at to help get their degrees are the instructional paraprofessionals that work at the school 10 years. They have families. They subsist and have a very busy life in their communities. However, if we could figure out how to support them with taking correspondence courses to work towards their degrees, so that grants program would really help with that. If we could have a cohort of like 12 in our district to work on a degree, I think that would be really helpful. So the grant funds that program that you talked about would be really helpful. And then, you know, I think that all districts support the reading bill. We definitely understand how important early childhood education is. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Pardon me, Superintendent Walker. I had Senator on my mind. Senator Machicki.
So wait. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we started this conversation a little bit backward. And please think about how I'm asking this question. We hear from a lot of legislators that we spend more per capita than anywhere else, whatever. They say a lot of things that are very populist when they're talking to their constituents. But what we haven't said is, so we have a BSA. It has a regional adjustment for cost. It's supposed to cover things like housing, shipping, transportation, differentials around the state. Why does it matter? Why does retention matter? Because some lawmakers are so dissatisfied with the outcome that they don't want to provide additional funding. How does hiring and retention success affect student outcomes in rural Alaska? I think it's kind of how we should have started the conversation, but I'm interested in just a quick response to tie those things together, because I think it's kind of the key to what we're talking about.
Superintendent Meyer? I just see your hand up. I don't know if you forgot quick and had your hand up by accident or still muted.
Actually, I would like to speak on that. There is a direct relationship, and it was referenced earlier, I think it was by Superintendent Boland, between teacher retention and student outcomes. If you think about your math teacher, I know I went to a school in Spokane, Washington, and the math teacher was there for, 30 years. And so that relationship and their reputation, that stands for many years. And so kids know what to expect when they come to school from year to year. In a village, if you have, a constant turnover, you may have three math teachers in 5 years, the continuity of instruction is lost. And certainly the relationship is damaged. Superintendent Boland mentioned, it's like, well, how long are you going to be here? And that's just a devastating comment for a student to make. And even if it's not spoken, it is understood that it's a concern. So, keeping teachers in place, for a prolonged period of time is super important before they move on. So I just feel like that's a really, really a big issue. And I'm glad that you asked that question. Thank you.
Superintendent Walker.
Thank you, Chair Holland and Senator Machicki through the chair. For the record, I'm Superintendent Walker with Northwest Arctic Borough School District. So retention matters, because when teachers come in, they their first year is kind of like an initiation year. They don't know the culture. they cannot make those connections for students in the classrooms with the curriculum that's being taught. And being able to make those connections in the classroom is so important. So it's a two-way street. The teacher must get to know the community to be able to make those connections in the classroom. And, you know, success is in the eye of the beholder. And I am a graduate from one of the villages here. And in our culture, we don't place success. We don't place value on our children by a number. And if this were so, I wouldn't be sitting in the position I am today.
All right, thank you, Superintendent Walker. Superintendent Boland?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and through the chair, Senator Majicki. And I just want to, Dr. Boland with Bering Strait School District, just to kind of follow up on my comment earlier about that, you know, how long are you going to be here and what Superintendent Meyer mentioned and Walker. But I think, you know, the key to educating children is building relationships and building trust and allowing students to know that they feel safe and secure. And unfortunately, not just in rural Alaska, across the country, and right now with the things going on across the world, the only safe place and maybe the only stable person in a student's life is that teacher. They're there every day. They come in. They can talk to them. They may not be able to talk to their parents at home. They may have other challenges going on in their life. And so when they get to school, to see that same person and for that same person to be there year after year after year, you know, that makes a huge difference. And before a student can learn, they have to feel safe and secure. They have to feel a relationship and trust with that teacher. And as Superintendent Walker mentioned, you know, it takes a year or two to come up. I came up from Florida and went to Savunga, about as far as you can go. But I got out into the community and I got to know the community and got welcomed by the community. But it still took a couple of years to make that happen. But staying in Savunga for 7 years, when I see somebody from Savunga on the street, they still ask me, when am I coming home? Because I was there and I've been there and I stayed there and made, you know, hopefully made their school and their experiences and their lives a little bit better. So I think that is before we can get learning, before we can get students engaged, before we can get students on time on task, before we can get students not having disruptive behaviors that they're bringing from the outside back into the school, they have to feel trusted, safe, secure, and supported by our educators.
Thank you, Superintendent Boland. Superintendent Hankins?
Yes, thank you, Chair Holland. I agree with everything my colleagues have said. You know, there are multiple studies that have been done with that state that, you know, the lower the turnover, the higher the achievement, and the higher the turnover, the lower the achievement. And I think of that often as we work on retaining our teachers in rural Alaska and how important that is. So I think one of the biggest costs to us is the loss of learning due to that inconsistency. I totally agree with all the comments we've heard about relationships. They're so critical. that lack of consistency and the increased amount of teacher turnover just means it takes longer for new teachers to come in and build trust. To build those relationships, not just with students, but in our communities. It's critical to also build those relationships with families, and that takes time. We really want to see our families as partners in education of our students, but those relationships take time to build. So when you face consistent turnover, it's almost like you start from scratch every single year. I think it's especially true also when working with students who have a high number of ACEs or adverse childhood experiences or with a lot of trauma in their background. It just takes longer to build trust. I know for us, higher teacher turnover it can equate filling classrooms with less experienced teachers. For us in LKSD also, it's led to the problem of being understaffed. I cannot remember a time in the last 5 years where we have filled all of our positions. Every year we face the challenge of having open positions around our district. And so the effect of that is that we're asking more of the staff we do have in place. And so we're really aware then of the demand that puts on people and the need for us, you know, for our principals to make sure that we're really supporting the morale of our staff and being in tune to our staff's well-being as well. But it definitely, I think Dr. Bolin, who said it just now, is so spot on in trust and relationships. Thank you.
Superintendent Hankins, Senator Machicki, final comment.
So I think you know why I asked that question. You've got a committee here of folks that kind of push aside the rhetoric, and we're trying to help whoever we can. But when the public hears educators want more money, you just wrote a really great, the four of you just wrote a really great op-ed that should be published. More money for what? Is it to enrich educators? It's not. It's for better relationships, continuity, success, housing. It's for kids. It's not for teachers. It's for a better outcome for kids. And that's, we're all politicians. I said that the other day. All four of you are as well. You have to help us communicate not only with the public, but with people in this building to understand that the more money is not tied to enriching educators, which is just kind of a funny way to look at it. It's about a better outcome for our kids, however you measure it in your communities, whether it's a score or a position you now hold because you were educated well where you live. So I just think it's a campaign we all need to be involved in so that we can help where we need to help and have a better outcome.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Hughes, did I ever make it around to you with a question?
No. Good morning, Mr. Chair, and thank you all for being here. And I just want to mention, you know, I did live in remote villages, and my older children attended school in remote villages before I moved to Palmer, where my older children attended school. And one of them went to school with Superintendent Patrick Mayer's son, Vincent, from kindergarten through high school. So at some point later, Patrick will have to catch up on our, how our kids are doing. The two of them do stay in touch. I know that. So I love the line of questioning that Senator Machicki brought forward because we are concerned about the goal of this committee, I think, in all the work that we do, is about the students and their preparation for entering the world and being as educated as possible. And so academic achievement is really important. As I listen to the last two speakers talk about relationship, how important it is, it was key to success in education, and that the turnover rate was related to achievement as well. And I'm kind of going to Senator Stevens was trying to get, you know, what's the one thing, and I know it's complicated, but if you could only pick one thing, would you, well, let me just ask it this way, would you agree that the recruitment and retention of quality teachers is the top number one priority for improving academic achievement? Would you agree that the recruitment and retention of quality teachers is the number one thing? If we as a legislature want to help improve academic outcomes, focusing on recruitment and retention of high quality teachers, would you put that at the top of your list? I know reading is right up there too, but since this is about recruitment and retention of teachers, is do you think that is definitely key? It sounded like Dr. Bolin and Hankins said that, but I don't want to assume something that you don't think is true.
Dr. Bolin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and through the chair, Senator Hughes, Dr. Bobby Bolin with the Bering Strait School District for the record. I would concur with that. I believe, you know, we have to be able to keep our teachers longer. And another reason besides just the, you know, besides a way that it affects outcomes is I'm spending my time as a superintendent out looking for teachers to come to rural Alaska right now. Instead of focusing on curriculum and instruction and developing those relationships. So because our staffs are not, you know, able to go out and find teachers. So, you know, I've spent the last 14 days traveling the country trying to find teachers. And, you know, we've found one so far. We've offered one contract and had it signed. We're getting ready to go to ATP, you know, this weekend. I'm in Anchorage now to do the Anchorage ATP. There's only 107 people registered. There used to be hundreds of people registered for Anchorage ATP. And so we can't rely just to come to Anchorage now and pick up teachers and have them come to us. So I would definitely say that, you know, the lack of teacher retention affects everything else going on in the district, all of our time, the money we spend, to try and make that happen. So I would concur with that assessment from you, Senator Hughes. Thank you.
Superintendent Bolin. Superintendent Walker.
Thank you, Superintendent Hughes, and through the chair. For the record, my name is Superintendent Walker with Northwest Arctic Borough School District. I agree that for the short term, that recruitment and retention is key for high quality learning. And you are absolutely right that our students must receive high quality learning, must learn to read. And so for their, you know, survival, you know, to be able to survive outside of the communities. And the one thing that I do want to emphasize is the growing your own, because, yeah, we want to recruit and retain teachers. However, the more we grow our own, the less we will have to recruit teachers from outside. So for the short term, yes, recruitment and retention, but for the long term, when you're looking 20 years out, we sure hope to get a lot of our own people educated with to deliver high quality instruction.
All right, thank you, Superintendent Walker. We've kind of pinged through my first three questions, and so we are here to talk about Senate Bill 225. So we'll jump back on that with the last question I have is, is there something missing from this bill? One, do you think you can use the bill? And I kind of hear grow your own is like the desire. But is there something that you'd like to see in the bill that isn't there? And Superintendent Meyer, I see you're up first. Unmute.
Yes, thank you, Chair Holland. And I do, again, appreciate the opportunity to be able to testify. You know, one of the things that we keep circling back to is the retirement system. And so I woke up last night and I thought, well, what could we do about the retirement system? So right now we've got this educational tourism piece that we all know is kind of that elephant in the corner. But what if someone stayed beyond 5 years and they were here in a sixth year or a seventh year? And they could either A, convert their, if it looked like they were going to stay, they could convert their contributions to a defined benefit program or pick up with a defined benefit program if they stayed in the state or in a district, beyond that 5 years. So I think that is just, you know, something that I thought of. I don't know if it would be appropriate to, you know, to at this juncture to be talking about that. But just, you know, I really think that's an idea worthy of considering. I know that comes up, Senator Hughes, asked about, you know, how we can recruit and retain teachers. Well, again, I come back to, you know, the whole BSA, because we can't do that without without resources in order to be able to achieve that. So that's all I have. Thank you, Senator.
Senator Begas, did you have something on that point? All right. Superintendent Hankins.
Thank you, Chair Holland. I agree. Retention is a critical piece. There's so many costs associated with teacher recruitment and retention. So not just the ones we talked about in terms of outcomes, but I mean, Dr. Boland talked about the high costs. So continually having to recruit, to hire, but also to retrain and kind of start from scratch every year with your new folks. It can be exhausting rather than being able to move forward and progress beyond with everyone. You're continually in this state of having to get everybody onboarded and then move forward, and then you face that cycle again. So retention is critical. But I also think a BSA increase, rather than a separate allocation, is also critical, because I think it will help districts target areas where they feel they can impact change to be better able to retain teachers. I know that in an answer to your second question, I definitely support Grow Your Own programs. We've had a lot of success with those here in LKSD. And to me, locally grown teachers are incredibly valuable in ways that Superintendent Walker spoke of. They're valuable because they're from the region. They've grown up in the culture. They're familiar with, and they have connections throughout our communities. And we find our locally grown teachers serve as role models, not just for our students, but they also help mentor our new staff. They're familiar with the family structures found in our region. I think one of the really important considerations is that they understand the cultural context of our students and our communities. And we've found that they enhance relationships in our schools and really contribute to that sense of connectedness. So, thank you. And I just want to say, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity, to be here today and offer my input. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Superintendent Hankins. Senator Begich.
Thank you. Just, for the record, I wanted to, since Superintendent Hankins earlier mentioned the Coalition for Education Equity, like I often do, I have to put on the record that my wife is the director of the Coalition for Education Equity. I receive no benefit from this conversation, but I want to put that on the record. And second, I just in general wanted to remind folks to take a look at what the Senate Finance Committee did, because it did incorporate in SB 111 many of the most, in fact, all of the cultural competency changes that were made on the House side for the House bill, including some additional protections around culture that will be, which would be valuable. So I just want to make sure that that was understood as well. Appreciate the conversation. I don't have a question at this time.
Senator Stevens.
Yeah, great conversation. And I think we may have a bit of a difference of opinion. I want to speak up for the local school districts and the school boards who know more what their community's needs than the state knows, than we know here at this table. I think you can best decide what needs you have and how to solve them. That's why I think the BSA is the right place to put money, the one thing that we could do to really improve things and have you decide. I will say one other thing. I would like to know from you, where your teachers are going when teachers leave your district. I mean, if they are going to, say, Washington State or Oregon, that's bad. That's bad for Alaska. And now, if they go to a hub like Bethel, or if they go to Anchorage or Juneau, That's not good for you, but it's not bad for the state. So I'd like to know statistically, if you can, not now if you don't want to, but at some point just let us know, where are the teachers you are losing going? What's happening to them? Thank you.
I see Superintendent Meyer's hand is still up, but I don't know if that's a relic from the last question or not.
My apologies, that was an error. Sorry.
Does anybody have any input on Senator Stevens' question? Superintendent Hankins.
Yes, thank you, Chair Holland. Through the chair, Senator Stevens. It's all of those things. Every year we lose teachers to the road system, districts on the road system. And we also lose teachers who return back home, wherever that is. Sometimes that's returned back home within our state. Other times, and a lot of the time, it's returned back home to the lower 48. So it would be both. In terms of specifics, I'm happy to follow up with you on our exit survey from last year.
Thank you, Superintendent Hankins. I think that's about exhausted our questions for the day. What we have about 10 minutes left over, and what I'd like to do is I'm going to go around the superintendents. And I've been fortunate enough. I was able to go to Savunga for a little bit and visit some of the off-road areas in Alaska. But it's a big state. And if I go around, and I'll give you a chance to make some closing comments, but if you'd lead your closing comments with just informing the committee with how many students are in your district, how many schools are in your district, and really how many of your schools is kind of a subjective call, but how many of the schools are truly remote and isolated, maybe not on the local road system you may have. So we'll start with Superintendent Hankins.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. So Lower Kuskokwim School District, the hub is Bethel, which is accessible via jet service from Anchorage on Alaska Airlines. Our district, we have 29 schools, most are K-12. In 24 different locations. In our hub here in Bethel, we service six schools. And I forgot the rest of your question. We have about 4,000 students that we serve K-12 throughout the district. And our district covers a land area of approximately 22,000 square miles. So for me to travel from Bethel to our village sites, I'm either taking a small plane, boating. Sometimes I'll wait for the winter and take the ice road. Sometimes I snow machine out to sites. It's all weather dependent as well. So I hope that answered your question.
And do you have any closing comments?
Oh, yes. I just wanted to say thank you again for the opportunity to provide testimony today. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the work this committee is doing in looking at the issue of teacher recruitment and retention. So thank you.
And Superintendent Bolin.
Hi, yeah, thank you, Chair. So we are located, our district office is in Unicle. We have 15 pre-K through 12 schools that surround Nome. Nome has its own school district, as I'm sure you're all aware. All of our schools are fly-in. None are accessible by the road. One is not even accessible by plane. It's only accessible by helicopter, which adds additional cost. That's a little Diomede. As I said, St. Lawrence Island, and then the rest is on the kind of Norton Sound Bay there. We also have NACTEC, which is located in Nome. That's our career and technical school where we try to prepare students on two-week variable residential programs. And I know some discussion has been going on about that as well. But that's again, very important to keep our students in state. Even if they don't go into teaching, at least it keeps them in our communities and it keeps them well-educated there and provides them job opportunities. We have about 1,900 students in that pre-K through 12, and about 250 certified staff and another 275 to 80 classified staff. I just want to, again, I want to thank the whole committee for, taking the time to listen to the concerns of rural Alaska and try to come up with innovative ways to address it. We, as has been mentioned about the, outcomes, and it's been said either in the Big Five and today, is that we all support the outcomes. We want our students to improve in academic. That's one of the biggest disappointments I have. I know it's one of the biggest disappointments previous superintendents in Bering Strait have, is that we haven't been able to find a way to make improvements in academics. And we try, we try these grants, these reading grants with the state. We'll do anything. We're willing to try anything to make a positive impact and help our students succeed. And, we wholeheartedly support, Senate Bill 111, anything that we can, to do to help make that a reality is great for us. So I just want to, close by just reminding you, all of us will probably be down in Juneau next week. We have our legislative fly-in. We'd love to sit down. I think any of us would take time to sit down and meet with you individually, answer some more questions, follow-up questions that you might have, and just, share some more on a more individual basis with our districts. I know we meet with many of you as we do, but come and see the art that our students do at the art show. So we really invite you just to come to our meetings as well and be a part of that. As ASA president, that's my formal invite to all of you to be there in attendance. So thank you guys, ladies and gentlemen, and for all of your time and efforts, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Superintendent Boland. Superintendent Walker.
Thank you, Chair Holland. For the record, I'm Terry Walker, superintendent for Northwest Arctic Borough School District. The district serves 11 villages, Kotzebue being the hub. There are no roads in or out of any of the villages. We travel by boat in the summer, airplane, snow machine in the winter, and, of course, airplane year round. We cover 39,000 square miles in our region. And we have a little over 1,800 students. Kindergarten through 12th grade. I want to thank you all for your time and echo Dr. Boland with we really appreciate the work that you do, and thank you for listening to us work to describe our region. We are I am a strong supporter for SB 225 and what I've seen or can understand of it so far, that it is going to work to help grow our own. It'll help with the stability of reducing our turnover, increase cultural capability or compatibility, create better student-teacher relationships. And those are all the things that we've touched on today. And so thank you for your time.
Thank you, Superintendent Walker and Superintendent Meyer.
Yes, thank you, Chair Holland. Four schools in the Aleutians East Borough across 12,500 miles, served by Raven Air, various small carriers. We have one site that is a helicopter trip from the island of Akoon to Akutan. And of course, the ferry is also a source of our transportation, 230 students. I too would like to thank you, just for taking the time to hear us. We're all in this together for our students. And particularly, I'd like to thank you for the advocacy that you show for our students. These topics, today are very, very important. And, I'll chime in with everybody else. I hope to see you all at the fly-in. And yes, Senator Hughes, I'll look forward to catching up with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you to all the superintendents. It was interesting on Monday to hear from the urban schools. The urban schools and all the challenges they were having. But you know, high-speed internet and running water and sewage are not high amongst their problems. The challenges in our rural schools are challenges on steroids, and I appreciate all the work everybody does in the rural schools in Alaska. It's truly a challenging environment. Thank you all for any comments from closing comments from the committee. Seeing none, superintendents, thank you again. At this time, I'll set Senate Bill 225 aside. And is there any other business before the committee? Seeing none, our next meeting is tomorrow, Thursday, March 17th at 10 a.m. And we are adjourned at 10:30 a.m.